It's a hot, humid night, the type of evening where you would definitely notice a chill across the back of your neck if you felt one.
There's aspects of what it's really been like to live in the Berkshires for the last 350 or more years for people that are revealed in things like ghost stories and legends and folk tales that have been passed around.
Local author, historian, and writer Joe Derwin welcomes about 40 people for the tour, which gets going 30 minutes before sundown. The group starts at the Pittsfield Common, a recently renovated downtown park with blacktop walking paths, a basketball court, performance pavilion, and a grave reality.
Much of this Morningside and Upstreet cultural district area was originally the Pittsfield Cantonment, which was the largest prisoner of war camp in the country during the War of 1812. So British prisoners throughout all the different battles would be sent to Pittsfield. And so that was under the command of Thomas Melville, who later bought property here and led to Herman Melville later buying property here and writing Moby Dick as a side note. But it was the POWs that were first buried in an area around approximately where the new performance stage is over there.
Derwin says the land continued as a cemetery after the War of 1812, as did the city's problem of grave robbing, even among societies soon to be upper echelon.
The early medical colleges had a crucial demand for cadavers, and there was very little supply legally. They were only entitled to automatically use bodies that were executed, which in Massachusetts was really only about 30 people in the first, from 1810 to 1840. So during the period of this boom, there was nowhere near enough supply of corpses to teach basic anatomy in all the medical colleges that were cropping up.
This next tidbit puts your grandfather's claim of walking to school uphill both ways to shame.
But in areas like Western Massachusetts and more rural places, or places where, you know, doctors didn't necessarily have those kind of underworld connections, there was still this need, and since the physicians themselves didn't really want to be out at night digging up bodies, it was kind of the students' responsibility to supply them like they would their other school supplies.
Still, Derwin says he doesn't know of a ghost story about the Pittsfield Common, but has heard of remains being found to this day, if that puts you at ease. The tour continues to the Berkshire Athenaeum, where Derwin says stories of a scantily clad young woman hysterically running around during the early morning hours have centered. Heard through second or third hand sources, Derwin says the tales revolve around the belief that a brothel was once located where the library now stands, although he hasn't been able to prove that.
So if anyone ever happens to be walking around here and you do see a little young lady who runs around, screams or laughs, and just suddenly disappears, I would definitely appreciate it if you would let me know, because that would be very interesting.
Derwin directs the group to South Street, the main thoroughfare in Pittsfield, gathering them outside the old Berkshire Place building, a nursing home since the 19th century.
There's been a story that's gone around staff at this location for many, many years about a nurse who used to work here and decided to never leave.
Derwin says he's heard from four former employees at the home, some even claiming to have seen the forever nurse dressed in an old-fashioned black uniform.
Usually they're being sort of reminded to do their job or nudged towards something, but there's been several incidents where a resident here was hurt or had fallen from bed or something, that was having some kind of medical emergency and wasn't able to hit their call button, but somehow or other a call button was pushed.
On North Street, Derwin pulls the group off to a pocket park by the railroad tracks that now carry CSX and Amtrak trains. He says a popular downtown eatery called the Bridge Lunch used to stand here, and one day in February 1958 thrust the spot into the city's lore.
There was a full diner of customers here enjoying lunch, and a big steam locomotive came barreling down the tracks, going much, much faster than, you know, the trains that they were used to going by every single day. And everybody stopped to look, and it didn't look like any of the trains that they were used to coming by every day either. So there was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of like, what was that? Some of the people from the diner called the railroad, and they said, well, we didn't have a train going through that time of day. And We don't run steam locomotives anymore. It's 1958.
Derwin says people around town had a hard time discounting the word of so many witnesses when a month later another train came roaring down the tracks in time for breakfast.
And this time everybody is kind of like stands up and they're looking at it. Everybody's, you know, quite sure of what they see. They call the railroad and they're like, we saw the steam locomotive again. It came by and this is the time and like, what's going on? And the railroad ended up sending a telegram that, you know, politely basically said, we're not sure what you guys are up to up in Pittsfield, but we don't run steam locomotives on our line and we haven't in quite a few years. So thus was born the idea that this must be a ghost train.
Even with all these stories, many questions remain for Derwin, including a pretty significant one considering his field.
When I figure out what a ghost is or is supposed to be, I'll let you know.
For more information on Derwin's tours and his book titled These Mysterious Hills, An Unauthorized History of the Berkshires, which also delve into unique characters who've left a mark on the area, go to WAMC.org.
I hope everybody has a great night.
Reporting from WAMC's Berkshire Bureau at the Berkshire Eagle, I'm Jim Lavoulis.